We now bring to these microphones on this special edition of Prophecy Today, a year in review 2015, my good buddy who I have a conversation with each and every week, David James, and we pick an issue that we look at. We go into the biblical aspects of this particular issue, helping the body of Christ to come to a way of determining how they should approach each and every subject that we discuss here when we have our conversation. And I think as we look at the year in review, some of the prophetic problems, you're going to come to a better understanding of what's been going on this last year. David, we've dealt with a lot of important issues over the past year, as I was just saying, but one of the most controversial topics has involved end times prophecy, and a growing number of teachers, their books, their sermons, the interviews, the television appearances, and so on. We need to deal with this issue, do we not?
Yes, we do, and you're exactly right. It has been one of the most significant issues over the past year. You know, we've talked previous programs about the fact that I traveled around the world this year teaching in many different places, and some of these issues have come up when I've been teaching overseas even. I was asked in pastors' conferences to deal with exactly these kinds of issues, so it's a problem here not just in the United States, but influencing the world.
And an excellent topic for us to have a conversation over for this week. We normally are very careful about identifying specific people publicly. But actually, when they present a danger to the body of Christ because of their widespread influence, I believe it's necessary to name names and explain why what they are saying is wrong. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. And just to kind of respond to that and tell people who we're talking about, it's men like Jonathan Kahn, who wrote The Harbinger and The Mystery of the Shemitah, Mark Biltz and John Hagee, both who wrote on the Blood Moons, and there have been others that have followed in their footsteps, but those have been three of the most significant names over the past year that we've dealt with because of, like you said, the widespread influence they've had. We're talking about millions of dollars in book sales and many, many interviews and appearances on televisions and many sermons involved.
Yeah, so the bottom line is that quite a few of these so-called prophecy teachers have been crossing lines in a number of areas, including the mishandling of Scripture, date-setting in some form or another, and failed predictions.
That's exactly right, and that is always the problem. You know, you and I and others who I would consider to be responsible and careful prophecy teachers, we understand the signs of the times, and we are called to understand the signs of the times, but there's a difference between that and what we call stage setting and actually giving people the impression that things are going to happen at a certain period of time. We also always talk about the importance of context, and a lot of the mishandling of scriptures results from not using the context. And then we have what you could call soft date setting and predictions that just haven't come to pass the way that they led people to believe that they were going to happen.
Now, beyond the people that we have mentioned publicly by name, those men themselves are of great concern, but there are also their publishers and those who have been promoting these men endlessly that we should be concerned about as well.
Well, yes, that's true. You know, I try to be very careful, and we try to be careful not to judge the motives of these men. But when it comes to the publishers and the promoters of these, who actually have a lot more money involved and probably receiving a lot more money than the authors themselves, I don't have problems naming names there either. WND and Joseph Farah, formerly WorldNet Daily, has been one of the foremost promoters of this, and he, along with Charisma Media, which is a publisher of Jonathan Kahn's books, that publisher is a multimedia empire that is the producer of one of the greatest producers of heresies of this generation. And then you have men like Jim Baker, who is playing both ends against the middle, selling survival supplies and geodesic dome houses on a 700-acre property there in Missouri, doing the same kinds of things that he was doing that he went to prison for in the late 80s and early 90s. In my opinion, I think it's strong language, but it's shameless peddling of the Word of God.
It certainly is, and I'll agree with that 100%. Well, as we look back over 2015, September seems to have stood out as the month that everybody was talking about, when they were supposed to have to face a worldwide economic collapse, Armageddon possibly on the scene, and even the end of the world. But here we are 3 months later. None of that happened.
That's right, and these people are making excuses. You know, before September, there was a flurry of activity in August of people talking about this. On the website InfoWars with Alex Jones and Michael Snyder's website and on several other websites, they were, I'm not sure of the original source because everyone was copying the same material. You know, right now even, I'm looking at a site that says that there are 33 things that are going to be happening in the month of September that gave an indication and tried to give credence to these things these men were saying, specifically the end of the Jewish Sabbath year on September 13th, and then the end of the Blood Moon Tetrad that Mark Biltz and John Hagee were talking about on September 28th, and then the Pope's visit, and Yom Kippur, and, you know, the end of the Jade Helm project that the military was running in the southwestern part of the United States, all these things that they pointed to as saying, hey, something big is going to happen, and nothing happened.
David, at least a year ago, we picked up a term from another ministry called the postmodern prophetic paradigm. And I think it would be good for you to rehearse for those eavesdropping on the conversation the meaning of that particular term.
Well, when we talk about postmodernism, we're thinking about relativism and not really having a solid objective evidence for what you believe. When we talk about the postmodern prophetic paradigm, we're talking about those who are going beyond the scriptures, drawing from multiple sources, and in many cases from cultic sources and from mythology of other religions from the ancient past, and trying to square those with scripture along with current events and pull that together and establish some type of pattern for the prophetic future.
Well, we've already mentioned several personalities, prophetic pastors or prophetic teachers in some way involved in ministry. But maybe you could mention a few of the men involved in this postmodern prophetic paradigm and actually what they're teaching.
Sure. Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, who have written the book Exo Vaticana, and also another book concerning current pope being the last pope based upon an ancient Catholic prediction back in the 1200s. You have a man named L.A. Marzulli, who is pushing the what we call the UFO eschatology paradigm, where he's talking about the Nephilim being still living today from Genesis 6, that the Antichrist is going to be a Nephilim, a human-angel hybrid, even a literal offspring of Satan. And Gary Stearman, who used to be a trustworthy teacher, these guys are just getting together, and they're teaching things that are completely off the wall and completely non-biblical.
Well, let me ask this. This is going to be your opinion, and I think I'm probably going to know the answer before you even give me the answer. I would probably agree with you. Would it be appropriate to label some of these men as false prophets or false teachers, as defined, however, by the Word of God?
You know, over the months and years we've talked about these, I've tried to be very careful, but as this goes on, it just gets hard not to label them that way, because in the Old Testament, there were three tests for false prophets. One was the ability to do signs and wonders. Well, these men aren't doing that. The second is whether predictions would come true. And even if one out of 1,000 didn't come true, then they were to be labeled a false prophet, and we've had failed predictions. And the third is the mishandling of the Word of God, teaching people things, saying God says things that he hasn't said. And all of these men are definitely guilty of that. So, you know, we can allow our listeners to draw their own conclusions But when you compare against the Word of God, we've got some real problems.
David, one of the reasons that I think these men have such influence is because people are reading these books that they're writing more than they're reading the Bible itself. Plus, so many Christians today don't seem to know how to study the Bible for themselves. Therefore, they're going to be deceived. Would you agree?
I would agree. And here's what people need to do. They need to read the Bible in context. They need to not just take verses out of context. They need to read the entire context, the passages before and after. And the one reason these men get away with this stuff is people have not been taught how to study the Word of God effectively. You need to do it systematically. You need to have trustworthy commentaries. Look for opinions of others. You can do Google searches and see if there are those who have responded to these claims and do it in a biblical way. There are multiple ways that believers can approach this, but they need to know the Word of God.
And this would be a great approach for 2016. From this moment on, this is the way David and I study Bible prophecy. In fact, study the entire Word of God. Well, David, as we conclude our conversation, even though we understand that you can't use current events to interpret the Bible, all of this seems to be continuing without any slowdown. I'm talking about those current events out there, which leads us to next week's topic, sort of a preview of what we can expect in 2016, right?
Right. You know, next week we'll be trying to do a preview of 2016, and we certainly have plenty to talk about because even with the failed predictions of September, these men are still continuing to assert that these things that we're seeing around the world are fulfillment of their predictions, which they really aren't. And what they said would be precise has now become very general, and yet they're still pushing it. I would say you could put it this way. They keep moving the goalposts to prevent themselves from being called false teachers or false prophets.
And in essence, they're fulfillment of prophecy itself. Jesus Christ said in the last days, beware of false prophets and false teachers. Well, that's why we had this discussion. We are doing it in love, dear friend. We name names, but don't get upset about that. Study the Word of God and see what it says, and then compare any of their writings to God's Word. David, just a great conversation today. We're looking forward to next week when we'll think about all of these concerns that we have about Bible prophecy and false teachers in 2016. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jimmy.